Morning, Grace Church. Have you ever forgotten to set your alarm? Well, 22 years ago, I was supposed to take a very early flight from Albany to Orlando, Florida, along with my boss and several of my fellow store managers for a work conference. I forgot to set my alarm, woke up 2 hours late, and barely got on the plane after getting a really big ticket for speeding. So a lot can happen when we're forgetful. What about forgetting where you put your keys? Anybody? How about something more important than forgetting your keys? A card you meant to send somebody. To turn off the stove, maybe. Have you ever forgotten you were supposed to deliver a sermon that day? Just kidding on that one. So all I have to do is forget my coffee in the morning. It throws my whole day off. I don't know if you can relate to that. So what makes us forget? I would suggest that a big part of it is we're constantly distracted by something. Let's pray as we prepare to study God's Word. Lord, I thank you that your Word is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. We come before you today as a congregation that seeks to be reminded of how we can know you better. Some are here in person, some are seeking you online today. Wherever we are, please help us, Lord, to put the distractions to the side and to be focused and to have wisdom to understand how we can each grow closer to you in our daily lives. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So if you'd like to open your Bible and follow along today, today's message is going to come from 2 Timothy 2, starting at verse 14. Please take a moment before we start, though, and just think of the last time that somebody upset you or somebody that really frustrated you. Just try to get that in your mind. I'll give you a second. Has everybody got one? We can all come up with one, right? So as you go through today's verses, I would really like you to keep that situation in your mind as we go through. It worked. Excellent. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. So we're commanded to keep reminding God's people of some things. First of all, why do we need constant reminding, right? The Israelites were constantly in trouble with God for being easily distracted. So there's a long history of this. They forgot his commands and made bad choices constantly, and really not much has changed since then. In the past 30 years, we've gone from a phone at home that had an answering machine attached to it, where you could leave your house, go out, nobody bothered you, you come home and there's messages, and you can call people back if you wish, things like that, right? So now we have pagers, I don't know if anybody remembers those. They allowed employers to get your attention anywhere. So you're not really free from work with a pager, because they expect you to answer. Then we went to flip cell phones that commanded our attention wherever we were, right? So people could get a hold of you anytime. So really no space, no, you know, time to just relax or, you know, even just to pray and not be distracted in some way. So now cell phones are like computers and they're loaded with built-in and constant entertainment. So how much time do we spend looking at them? Just an example. Well, here's another point along the same track. I can remember song lyrics to thousands of songs, mostly 80s, right? Anybody else can relate to that? Thousands of songs. So can you? Can you remember as many Bible verses as songs? I can't. So we allow constant distractions to pull at us. And both examples I've given relate to entertainment distractions, but there are many more we could talk about. So not much has changed in the past 2,000 years since 2 Timothy was written. They still had the same problems. They were easily distracted, and they needed reminders, just like us. So what are we being reminded about in this scripture? Quarreling with words. It feels good to be right, doesn't it? So go back to your last memory of someone upsetting or frustrating you. What was it about? Was it really important? What was most important to you, being right or being loving, as we're all commanded to be? Would those present in that moment say that you represented yourself well as a Christian? I can't say that, you know, I would have received that kind of feedback. You know, our actions can lead others towards Christ, or they can make others question what makes us different from the rest of this world. So, you know, what was the result of your situation? Matthew 5 says, "You are the light of the world." You, me. "A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And we need to show the world who we are in Christ, starting with those closest to us, our families, our neighbors, our friends, and we've heard a little bit about that recently. I get frustrated when our schedule at home gets busy. I don't know if anybody can relate to that. Gets busy, I get stressed out, right? So living together with five people means that all five people have their own wants and needs. So, for example, I'm out every day because I work full-time. So I get to do some errands during the week for work. If I really want to, I can leave work anytime I want and go do an errand. It's no problem. So some of my staff don't have that luxury, but I do. So typically the last thing I want to do when I get home is go out or do errands, right? Because those are things I get to do, you know, during the day. But my family's home a lot. So my kids are homeschooled. So naturally they want to go out and do something other than school, work, or chores when I get home. So to avoid disagreements, we have to plan well. We have to be spontaneous sometimes. But we also have to have a good balance with our week and support each other's needs cheerfully. So one time recently, I was washed out from my family's schedule being too busy. So my wife and I, Christine and I, decided to have a weekend of no. So she was very supportive. We stayed home. We had some relaxing fun for a whole weekend and didn't do anything, which was great. So in frustrating situations, upsetting situations, being right isn't enough if we're taking our command to love into account. So no matter who feels like they won and gets their way in these difficult moments, someone's going to lose. So that's the biggest point to remember. Jesus is our example for how to love others, as he lived a sinless life and he gave himself up for us willingly and with love. Ephesians 5, Paul teaches, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we're members of his body." Excuse me. "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." So Jesus' life, death, and resurrection shows us the true example of how we're to deal with marital disagreements. We're supposed to help our spouse pursue holiness by being in God's word. I'm also supposed to take care of my wife as if I was taking care of me, right? So it means giving up what we want in favor of somebody else. Sacrifice is a place where love and respect can grow, or it's how we can regain joy in our relationships when we mess things up because of our sin nature. So sacrificing our own wants and needs to show love for others is something that can help us grow in our walk with Jesus and also make our relationships better. Quarreling only serves our own selfish wants and desires and also damages the relationship, which really just hurts us too, right? When our friends, family, spouses are miserable, kids are miserable, we're miserable too. So quarreling in marriage, unfortunately, though, is very common. So if we don't allow Christ into our hearts and let him be part of our lives, quarreling too much in marriage can even lead to divorce. Intentional sacrifice can feel risky, though. Here's a common fear and a reason to hold back our love from others. What if you just keep on giving and sacrificing your wants and needs for a partner or somebody else in your life that isn't participating or never gives back? Hebrews 10 says this, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." Let's make a choice today to pray for each other when disagreements happen, to turn away from godless chatter, and to set our focus on love. Let's see. The key verse of our church's Awana Club is verse 15. "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." Awana stands for Approved Workers Are Not Ashamed. I'm so thankful for our leaders, our youth leaders here at Grace, who have been pouring into my kids for many years with this message. As we leave today, let's make a decision to study God's word on a daily basis so we can use his word correctly when we need to. So one form of godless chatter can be quarreling with words, but this quarreling has no value and only ruins those who listen. So let's endeavor as a church and our families, with our friends, even at work, to present ourselves before God unashamed. Let's choose to extend grace and love to others. Let's keep reminding each other to be in God's word so we can handle it correctly and live it out. All right, so these are names here that are really fun to read. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Herminius and Philetus. How did I do there? Oh, good, okay. Got the pastoral nod. Thank you, Wes. Appreciate that. Who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. So this is talking about those that would seek to draw us away from Christ. Distractions. They might even call themselves Christians. They might say things that we want to hear, like our sin really isn't that bad. It's not true. Or that we can somehow be good enough to earn our salvation. So how can we defend ourselves against this? In a world of distractions, how can we know God's will for our lives? We need to be reading our Bibles to have any chance of standing firm. Ephesians 6 talks about the armor and the sword that we can use in spiritual battle. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So these are some reminders we need, right? To help us get through things when it gets hard in life. And 1 Corinthians 16:13 to 14 says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. This is one verse I have memorized, so it's hidden in my heart when distractions and frustrations, also known as the flaming arrows of the evil one, come my way. So it's good to have something to fight back with. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So God has set you and I apart for special purposes, for his special purposes. He can make us holy and ready to do his will by washing us in his word. As we learn how God wants us to live, we can become more useful to him, which is really exciting. We need to run from the evil desires of our youth. We need to run toward God and his holy standards for living, together with others who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So he created us to need each other. We can't do it alone, right? My favorite verse is Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. If we're seeking what's right, if we have faith in Jesus, if we live our lives in love and peace, how could we grow weary? I find that when I'm most frustrated, it's not coming from a place of love and peace. I don't know if you can relate to that. That also highlights how difficult life can be for our young people. So my kids are 12, 16, and 18. So I see my kids, their friends, my relatives and neighbors' kids, and the children of my coworkers go through a lot of difficulties. Here we learn that we need to run from the evil desires of our youth. When we're young, we're still learning what kind of life we want and what we're going to stand for. We're making decisions. And we're also learning who or what we're going to put our faith into. These are not easy decisions with this world pulling our young people away to get them away from Jesus. So let's make sure we're speaking truth and teaching our young people how to defend themselves and fight against these temptations. And here's the good part. If we're seeking God, he can make us more useful for his purposes. Doesn't that sound really good that we could be used for God's special purposes? So we need to actively allow ourselves to be washed clean in his word, put our hope in our Savior even especially when we're experiencing conflict with others or when we're under spiritual attack. Excuse me. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. Here's a foolish argument I found on Google. You might like this one. If you put frosting on a muffin, does that make it a cupcake? Interesting, right? We couldn't make a decision at my house, so I'll leave you with that one for the day. How does God define a foolish argument? That would be a foolish thing to argue about, right? So let's make sure we're keeping our focus on knowing our Savior better and on making disciples, not finding fault with others for their ideas. How about when we judge others instead of trying to understand them better? Making assumptions can really damage relationships. And I'm guilty of that occasionally, making assumptions that aren't correct. It's important that when we feel upset, we aren't reacting in anger, but reacting with the gentle instruction that leads others to Christ. We aren't supposed to be resentful. So what's the definition of resentful? Feeling or expressing bitterness or indignation at having been treated unfairly. So how about a show of hands? Have you ever been treated unfairly? Let's talk about the ultimate in unfair treatment. Jesus hung on a cross for our sins. He was treated really unfairly. He gave himself up for us when we didn't even deserve it at all. So let's lay aside our prerogative in favor of helping others escape the devil's traps. Proverbs 17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity." How should we respond when someone deserves our wrath? Matthew 22:36-40 says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" So Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." That's our response. That's what it should be. So I put together a little summary here, verse by verse, of what we've covered today. We really need reminding about our choice of words. We need to do our best to correctly handle God's word by living it out correctly. We need to stay clear of gossip and petty arguments. Choose our words carefully. If we fail to stay clear of gossip and petty arguments and choose our words carefully, it's going to draw others away from Jesus. We get really confused when we're drawn away from God's truth. God is a firm foundation for us to turn to, and we must turn away from wickedness. The large house, or the church, is full of people that need to make a choice to pursue faith. Amazingly, this is all verse by verse. This is the verse numbers. So you can sometimes take some notes and get a plan together for your life by using certain parts of Scripture. Sanctification is the work of God in us, purifying us from sin as we seek Him. We need to run from sin and pursue Jesus with a pure heart. We need to extend grace to each other instead of arguing and stay focused on Jesus. And we'll go back to our Awana verse. To be approved workers, we need to handle God's word correctly by living it out in a kind way, extending grace to each other. Nobody wants to listen to a teacher that doesn't believe their own lesson. When we're upset, gentle correction will help lead others to God and his word. And we need to keep our greatest commandment and primary goal of loving God and others in mind when we're upset. The devil seeks to draw us away from God. Helping others to seek God is more important than our frustration in the moment. So we have to look past that. Okay. Everybody ready? Oh, Matt, you look ready. You like that. That's good. So what did we talk about today? Did we talk about forgetfulness or being quarrelsome? So let's just do a quick check-in with our frustrating situation from the beginning. Everybody has their upsetting or frustrating situation in mind, right? How did I handle it? What needs to change in order for us to run from sin and better align with God's word? How can we better pursue God? Let's all commit to seek God first, not happiness, money, work, even family. How many of us can say we're doing that? Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this time where we can study what your word has for us. We ask for your help. Life can be hard. There are many distractions and pressures that make fixing our hearts and minds on you very difficult, and something we need to be in greater reliance on you to accomplish. We need to be more dependent on you for how to live and how to treat each other. Help us as a church, and also each family that's represented here, to seek you more and trust you with our lives. Bless us, Lord, as we go from this place so that we can be used for your special purposes, especially when we need to remind each other to do it. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.